Amen.
Can we turn in our Bibles? You have your Bible with you or nearby, into the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Now we'll quickly read from verses 10 to 20. Ephesians chapter 6 from verses 10 to 20. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. From this scripture that you have read, today we will be sharing on the topic that I called Strength in the Lord and the Power of His Might. Strength in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, if you watch closely, we'll discover that chapter 6 is the last chapter of the letter of Paul the Apostle to the Ephesians. And it's as it were as if he was concluding that letter. He now spoke, I believe on that, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In verse 10, he said, finally, brethren. And he opened it by saying, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The question one will ask is, why so much strong emphasis laid on that injunction? Finally, brethren. In other words, he was addressing Christians, and he was encouraging them on a final note that they should be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It was like there is no option. It is like a command. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. If you also note the injunction Apostle Paul also gave to his son Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He said, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is given unto you. This points to the fact that there is something important about the strength and the power of the might of God. And personally, I felt that when I was reading through this scripture that this is a very, very relevant command to us at such a time like this. To be strong in the Lord. I want us first of all to note the word in. That tells us that there is power in the Lord that is available to believers. That God doesn't only just have power, but that power is shareable. That power can be transferred to his people. So be strong in the Lord and in also the power of his might. I also notice that anytime the Lord wants us to remind us of the essence of his closeness to us, that word in is always used. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, there is power. Acts chapter 17 and verse 28 says, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. Stressing relationship with this same Father. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a popular scripture. Say, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. In John chapter 14 also, verse 1, as the Lord was preparing for the departure, so he was encouraging his disciples. He was, so to say, trying to lift up their spirit. And so he was like giving them an encouraging word. Verse 1 of John 14 says, let not your heart be troubled. Why? In my Father's house. Because in my Father's house, there's a provision for you. So, I'm going, but it's going to be a temporary thing. So, the Lord was telling them that, look, in my Father, there's a place for you. So, the word in is very crucial. Very, 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 very crucial. In John chapter 16, also, and verse 33, the Lord also was telling the disciples, say, this thing have I spoken unto you, that in me, you might have peace. Though in the world, you will have tribulation. Again, when we look at that, and we look at what we are passing through today, there's a tribulation of the most popular word today, coronavirus. So in the world, you will have tribulation. But in me, you will have peace. So the Lord had a passion for his people to relate together. Share what he has together. And so, talking in this verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So there is a peculiar strength that somebody can obtain from the Lord. You will find out that every human being has some measure of strength, of power, and the capacity of everyone varies. What I can carry, maybe somebody else may not be able to carry it. What I cannot carry, maybe somebody with one hand will be able to lift it. And so we have that power, we have various capacity to show whatever power that all of us have. And again, I ask myself, why this kind of a command? And just few answers that I put down here. I say, because it is needful to run the life of God in a believer. The power of God is needful to run the life of God in the believer. The power of God is needful for a believer to run the life of God in him. The life of God is a mystery. It's peculiar. It's not a fry in the pan. It's real and tangible. And so, for us to sustain the life of God in our lives, we need the support, the encouragement, the infusion of the power and the strength of God. Number two, I say it's because the strength and the power and might of God can reduce in dimension. It's not fixed. Oh, you have whatever, I don't know, the calibration, the nomenclature they give to power now. But it's not that, okay, you have 50% of it, and that is permanent. No. It can increase, and it can reduce. And so, the word command, be strong, is also emphasizing the fact that, please, you need to continue to increase to ensure that the power of God is on the increase, not on the decrease. It can reduce and it can increase. Number three, I say, its absence or its reduction in the life of a believer can spell disaster. That's what happened to Samson. You all know the story of Samson. You know, that power can even disappear. The strength and the power of God and the might of God can disappear, can go completely. And so, that's the reason I believe the command comes to believers. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Well, secularly or literally, what is power? Or what is strength? Strength is ability to withstand force or pressure, literally speaking. Or it's having power to move weights or having power to perform physical demanding tasks. That's literal meaning of the word strength. Ability to withstand force, ability to withstand pressure, ability to have power to move weights, or to have power to perform physically demanding tasks. And of course, power is ability and capacity to do something. Or it's a capacity to direct or influence the behavior of others. So I say it's a measure of stored energy. That's power. It's a measure of stored energy. Energy already stored. It could be stored potentially in something. And therefore, on trying to relate the two, I put it simply. Strength is simply application of power. Strength, simply put, is application of power. Brethren, as we continue, I would like to draw attention to the fact that strength, power, and might of God actually
is what holds the world together. The entire world is created and wired together under the influence and the power and might of the Almighty. In Genesis chapter 1, when the Lord was going to create the first important thing, that's light, he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. There was immediate response. There's something called light staying somewhere, or maybe not existing at all. But God said, "Let there be light." In other words, the power and the might of God spoke the world into existence. So one after the other, one after the other. Even when man was going to be made, after making the mold and the clay, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, the Bible says there, God breathed his breath into his nostril. Transfusion of his power and his might into ordinary clay, and brought a revolution of life into what he created. And so from there, as I was meditating, I found out that there is nothing in the whole world that doesn't carry one measure or capacity of God's power or the other. Imagine just a seed of corn or a seed of orange in your hand, and you feel like, okay, let me go and plant it. Ordinarily, when you look at it like this, it's harmless. It looks like it has no potential when you look at it in your hand. Now, when you put it in the soil and you bury it, after some days, you are watching the spot, you will begin to see something on that soil. Crack. A crack on the ground. And after a while, you see now the blade, or whatever we call it, shooting out of the ground. Now, what made the soil to crack is an application of power and strength, irrespective of the measure. In other words, in everything that God had created, there is a measure of strength and power. Even common stone, they exist in boulders, in big sizes, and some in small ones. Now, the most common one that we use today for our purposes, for roads, for building, we call it granite. Now, the big boulder of granite remains on its own, loaded with measure of power, strength, until a crusher is brought in that we apply another power bigger than the power holding the molecules of that granite together. If you don't do it, the thing remains big and it's useless to you. But once the crusher comes, crushes it, reduces into the sizes that we need for the roof. So we can see, therefore, in everything that God had made, in plants, in man, in ordinary stones, there is the strength of God loaded into it. There is the power of God loaded into it. There is the strength of God loaded into it. And that means that the strength and power of the Lord is very, very relevant to every creature. His word is loaded with power. And he says, "Let there be light." And there was light. When man came into existence, he found out that he was doing well in the garden. And when in chapter 3, the devil came, and the story, we all know that, we find out that the power loaded into him, into Adam, was lost.
It was lost at that particular time. And there are quite a lot of things that we may not necessarily use or waste our energy to do today that we are really, really using them to do.
In the world today, human beings have carved out for themselves different types of authorities and powers. We have political powers. We have economic power. We have military power. And of course, we also have spiritual power. Spiritual power also, we can quickly divide it into two major segments. The satanic power, and of course, godly power. Part of the satanic power that we are experiencing today is the lifeless virus that is ravaging the whole world. A lifeless virus that is disturbing the peace of the whole world. Satanic power. Occultism, men of the Illuminati, and so on and so forth. But we don't want to bother ourselves about that one. We want to concern ourselves about spiritual and godly power, which happens to be the focus of Apostle Paul when he was speaking to the Ephesians. And says, he told them, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Then I asked myself, what does it mean? What does the power of God's might, what does it mean? What does it mean? Strength in the Lord, what does it stand for? It says, it's an anchor of our faith that links us to the Almighty God. To the Almighty God's own power. Let me say it again. It is an anchor of faith that links us to the Almighty God's own power. Say, it is the binding force that yokes believers to the Almighty. That is the power of God's might. That is the strength of the Lord. Like I said earlier on, it is measurable. It is immeasurable dimensions. It varies in measure from a brother to a brother, from a sister to a sister, from pastor to pastor. And so, the amount of God's strength, power, and might in a believer will vary in direct proportional to the level of yieldedness of that fellow to God. It varies in dimension. That's why in Proverbs chapter 24 verse 10, say, if thou fainteth in the day of adversity, then your strength is little. In other words, there could be a little strength and there can be a very, 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 very mighty strength in the life of a believer. However, if there's any time that believers and even unbelievers need God's strength, the power of his might, it is now. It is now. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1. It says, awake, awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garment, O Jerusalem. That is, please, now, awake. Don't sleep. Don't slumber. Don't be weary and don't be weak. It is not the time for us to be weak. It is the time for us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's what that injunction, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1, is saying. The redemptive song or hymn focuses on this scripture. Awake, 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 put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garment, put on thy beautiful garment, O Jerusalem. He says, awake, awake, awake. This time is not the time for a Christian to be weak and weary. Yes, we are not congregating for worship, but it doesn't stop us from really the most acceptable service to the Lord is the service we individually render unto the Lord. It is a personal thing. You communicate with the Lord. The Lord communicates personally to you. At the closet, when we have our service, our relationship with the Lord, that is the time when the real communication between the Father and all of us becomes so real. So it is not the time for us, though we are not congregating, but individually, it is time for us to be very, very strong in the Lord. Psalm 33, verse 16 says, no king is saved by the multitude of his host or his army. He said, no powerful man is saved by his strength. So it is time to depend on the strength of the Lord. Proverbs 21 and verse 31 says, horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs unto the Lord. So, in essence, we want to look the next few minutes. When God says, be strong in me and the power of my might, what are the purposes? What's the essence of being involved in the power of the Lord? From the definition, when we say strength is ability to resist pressure, it means, therefore, that when we are talking of the purpose of the strength of the Lord in the believer, it is that for that believer to be able to withstand stress, to resist stress, such as we are going through today. And when we look at the world today, in fact, when we talk of pressure, pressure can also be divided into two major segments, physical and then the spiritual. The physical has to do with our day-to-day life running. We want to eat, we want to drink, we want to pay school fees, we want to buy fuel into our cars or buy car, and so on and so forth. So many pressures, demands on us. But with the presence of the power and might of God in a believer, you will find that he makes a balance of his life and living. Then the spiritual one is the emphasis we are trying to look at, which was the one Paul the Apostle laid to the Ephesians church. In verse 12, verses 11 and verse 13, it said that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That ye might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That is in our text, verses 11 and 13. Wiles of the devil. The Bible recognizes the wiles of the devil, recognizes the potentials that the devil has, the possible influence the devil can have on anybody. So that's why he said, so be strong in me. In order for you to be able to withstand the pressure that you are expected to receive from the devil. In order for you to stand, say, put therefore the whole armor of God. We'll be looking at that later on. So put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles of the devil, cunning craftiness of the devil, satanic strategies of the devil, manipulations of the devil, maneuvering of the devil, the subtlety of the devil. He said, in order for us to be able to withstand all of this, we need the strength and the power of the might of the Lord. Number two, it is anti-fear. When the presence of the power of the Lord is available to a person, there is no fear. Psalm 27 verse 1. The Lord is my strength and the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So, the presence of God's power and his might gives confidence to a believer. Remember, this brings to mind the encounter David had with Goliath. Everybody was afraid. The young man came to the scene with courage and the boldness because he had been acquainted with the power and the might of God in the wilderness. So it wasn't anything for him. He just went before the man and said, look, I will give your head to the fowler of the field. And exactly that's what happened. So the presence of God's power and his might in the life of a believer pushes away fear. And 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity, but of love, of boldness, and of a sound mind. Especially at such a time like this. The number three, the presence and the power and might of God generates ability to succeed. It generates ability to progress in life. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ezra chapter 7 verse 21. He found favor in the life of King Artaxerxes. Psalm 33 verse 16. One of the purposes of God's strength and might in the life of a believer is victory in battle. Victory in battle. We check Psalm 33, verse 16. It says, there is no king saved by the multitude of his hosts. The mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Another one is strength in weakness. There are times like Elijah's, a Christian gets to a point feeling weary, feeling tired. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 to 9 reminds us of the experience of Paul the Apostle. He said he had a thorn in his flesh, the messenger of Satan. He sought the Lord three times, and the reply God gave him, his grace is sufficient for him, for his strength is made perfect in his weakness. God's strength is made perfect in the weakness of Paul. So he said, well, let me remain weak if God's strength will continue to show. Also,
safety in trouble. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So when there's the strength of God present in the life of a believer or anybody whatsoever, then you can be so sure that he will receive help in trouble. And fulfilling the call and the ministry of God can be easily made possible when a man has the strength of God. Just like we said earlier on, the strength of God is needed to sustain the life of God in believers. And so, the strength of God is also needed to be able to fulfill the ministry that God has given to believers. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 17. God stood by Paul in the days of adversity. My brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I am recommending to you to heed this all-important injunction from the Lord. It's both a command and is also an appeal to us to be able imbibe the power of God for our lives. Especially in times like this, we need the strength of the Lord. In times like this, we need the strength of the Lord. When the strength of the Lord is available, it covers us from coronavirus, gives us the ability to be able to live a successful life. So I want to, if you are a Christian, fine. If you are not a Christian, give your life to Him. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you very much. God bless you.